Down to business on News Talk.
Sponsored by Bank of Ireland. We understand business. Choose the bank that's here to help you rise to today's business challenges and tomorrow's.
There are many services that people have put on hold during COVID, despite them being vital. One of those services that calls for patients and clinicians to get up close and personal is that of opticians. So for today's industry review, I'm delighted to be joined by Linda McGivney-Nolan. She's an optometric advisor at the Association of Optometrists in Ireland and a practicing optician. We also have Cal Nosey, the owner and optometrist. Oh, they're going to have to help me with these. At Nolke Opticians and Hearing in Ardkeen in Waterford. And John Weldon is also with us. He's got an easier title because he's the clinical director for Claddagh Optical in Galway and Roscommon. He's also the president of the Association of Optometrists in Ireland. So you're all very welcome to the programme. And maybe I could start with you, Linda. And if you could maybe tell us about how opticians were categorised as we went into the various lockdowns, because I think there was some confusion about essential versus non-essential and the fact that you were allowed part operate, which must have been very, very challenging.
Hi, good morning, Bobby, and greetings from Bray, as it happens.
There you go. We might talk to you next week as well.
So, yes, along with many businesses, optometry was initially designated non-essential because of our retail aspects, and we were required to completely close in March. Now, up to that, we had been trying to deal with this ever-changing situation like everybody else. We had no real knowledge of what the virus was. We didn't know how to protect ourselves. You couldn't get masks. You couldn't get PPE. And, of course, due to the close proximity that optometry needs to engage with the patient, we were constantly in a high-risk situation. So for many optoms, this initial complete lockdown was a relief. But it became really quickly apparent we couldn't have a total closure, because we are still eye care practitioners and acute and emergency cases still needed to be seen. So we had to be redesignated. So we were given a new category very quickly of essential, urgent or emergency. And we still have to get clarification on that. So we were working on guidelines that the AOI were constantly changing and modifying to keep our members safe, to keep Optom safe, okay, you know, working with their patients. So we had to keep changing these. So we ended up in a situation for the first lockdown where we were operating behind locked doors and we were seeing kind of essential urgent cases. And these, of course, would vary from sight-threatening situations to, you know, the ambulance driver or the frontline worker who broken his glasses or lost their contact lenses or whatever.
Right.
So this kept evolving.
Yeah, very challenging. Maybe we'll just ask Cal Nolsey about his experience of it. Cal, you're down there in Ardkeen in Waterford. This business of being half open, where you've all the costs have been open, but maybe a fraction of the revenue, must have been very challenging.
Yeah, thank you again, Bobby. Hi, guys. Thank you for having us here. Yes, it was very challenging. And I think, you know, I suppose there's the side of the clinical side of doing eye tests and primary eye care for our patients. But the reality is that selling glasses is as primary as anything. People can't function if they can't see. So whether you're an ambulance driver or somebody working in Tesco's, if you can't see, you can't go to work. Mm-hmm. So it's a reality. The sale of spectacle is an essential service. You know, whether you buy a medical card frame or a pair of Gucci glasses, it's the same job, but it's an essential product. You can't see without it.
Yeah.
And I suppose from my brief story is, you know, 2019, we were the busiest year ever. 2020, we were looking to grow further. And of course, COVID hampered all of that. But very quickly, we became essential. And we realized that although, you know, we're going to stop everything, stop. And suddenly we realized, hang on a minute, there's no stopping. We have to continue. And we have to enhance our primary eye care service. There's a huge reduction in the service level in the public system, in the hospitals, and patients need to be seen. In my practice, I've invested quite heavily over the last year in non-contact equipment. Many practices have. And we were seeing what the difference in the retail, it's the interesting side of it, is that we're seeing essential appointments. So people are coming to us and they are either have an eye problem or they're going to purchase spectacles.
Okay.
So they're a guaranteed sale. I'm going to put it in a retail, in a, you know, business
context. That's the kind of language that, we like that, to hear.
You know, the customer is coming into the car dealership. He is buying a car. Okay. He is not going to 10 car dealerships and foostering around. It's just, right?
There's an upside to everything, Cal.
There's no more browsing. People are coming in with a with a view to purchase, because COVID, you can't go to multiple stores. You're going to come in, you know what you want, and you're happy, arguably, to all spend money, be that in eye care or in spectacles.
Let's talk to our third guest, John Weldon, the clinical director there in Clada Optical in Galway and Roscommon. John, you're very welcome to the programme.
Now that
you're finally reopened, John, we've heard of pent-up demand in lots of sectors. Does it apply for your own business, the optician?
Oh, very much so, Bobby. If you think about it, as Kel alluded to a few minutes ago, sight is such a precious resource. And even for those who were cocooning at home, the ability to read your correspondence or comfortably watch something on the telly are critical tasks that you want to accomplish. So those people who were having issues in that area, once they were free to come and see us, naturally they wanted to get those issues dealt with. And thankfully we were available and able to do so for them.
Oh, that's great.
A very busy period of time.
I was going to ask you as well, John, the role of the optician and the actual work that they do, am I right in saying that in other jurisdictions such as the UK and maybe indeed the US, that opticians go a step further in a local sense before referring somebody to a hospital? Can you maybe explain that to our listeners?
Yeah, sure, Bobby. It's a really, really valid point, and it's a very good area of opportunity for understanding. Even the pronunciation of the title optometrist is kind of problematic for a lot of
us. It certainly is for me.
Yeah, and you know, when we think about the term optician, we think about the kind of the retail aspect of the business. And when we talk about the profession of optometry, we look at it in an eye care sense. So we have the eyewear, if you like, and then we have the eye care. So all optometrists in Ireland are trained, qualified, and capable of dealing with all manner of eye problems and conditions, recognizing and diagnosing and referring where appropriate for treatment, or indeed managing certain situations in their everyday practice. So, for example, during the emergency period of time, we occasionally would have somebody who might be working at home and they might get a bit of steel or something embedded in their eye. And rather than traveling many hours to the accident and emergency and waiting for many hours amongst other people, they can come to an optometrist like myself, who's trained and accredited, to remove that embedded particle under local anesthesia.
Right.
So very, very early on in proceedings, Bobby, our very good relationship with all of our local GPs was amplified. They were working through telemedicine and phone triage. So basically anything, if you rang up with a sore or red eye, your GP would say, look, go to your local optometrist. They have the tools, they have the equipment, they will be able to safely examine you and then refer back to us if necessary.
Okay.
So oftentimes, especially early on in the things, we were co-managing, if you like, with our GP colleagues very successfully.
And does that mean, Linda, then, that an optometrist could offer assistance in terms of giving something like vaccinations? Am I right in saying that?
Absolutely, and a large number of our members, including John, have trained up and already participated in the delivery of vaccines. And this is something we could actually potentially do from our practices going forward, just as the pharmacist can do it from their pharmacy.
I never knew that. That's really good information. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So we are involved in that. Yes, very much so.
And Linda, just going back to maybe, I suppose, the retail aspect of things, like how much of your business is, I suppose, medical and how much is retail? It's an interesting business in that you've got a crossover of both.
Yes, absolutely. And the thing is to remember that although there is a retail aspect, this retail aspect is still regulated because a pair of glasses are still a designated medical device. So overseeing the sale or the fitting of a pair of glasses has to be done by a qualified professional or, you know, somebody who's been appropriately trained. So when we talk about appropriation of, you know, what proportion of business, it is pretty much nearly 50-50 because in order to generate a pair of glasses, you have to undergo an eye test. But it also goes back to the 80-20 rule, doesn't it? Because if you look at the cost of an eye examination versus the cost of your pair of glasses, the glasses are what are the contact lenses. That's what's going to generate the income that keeps your practice open to support the clinical and the clinical delivery. So your eye examination is going to be proportionately a lot less than the cost of the prescription or the glasses.
Okay, and I'll just say to our listeners that we've got three of Ireland's best opticians on here. If you've got any questions, I'll try and field them and get them to them. If you want to get them in at 53106, it'll only cost you 30 cents. Back to you, Cal. Most retail businesses have had the challenge of competing against online sales. Could I suggest that it's probably no different for an optician?
Yeah, no, it's we come into that realm as well. I suppose the main online sales today are certainly in Ireland are contact lenses, and then a small bit of spectacle sales online as well. I think the main reason people may look to do that is possibly to save some money and say, look, I'm going to buy something online. And then particularly in COVID times, you had the idea that you could buy something online instead of having to go out into a practice. But again, it's a very regulated profession, as Linda advised there. You know, it's a medical device. It's your sight. Yeah. It's important. And we on a very regular basis would see people purchasing products online which are entirely not suitable, and then they end up coming back into us saying, look, I bought this product online, it's not fitting on my face, it's a personalized product and it's not right. And so it doesn't really affect us too much, I think.
No, but it's like everything else. You end up maybe picking up the pieces sometimes where people have to come back to you, which is, you know, that's all fair and well in love and war. John, could I ask you about the implications for working from home? Has that meant that, you know, people's eyes have deteriorated in any way around watching too many screens, like in the last 15 months? Are you seeing any evidence of this in your practice?
Yeah, we certainly are, Bobby, and I think that's a big issue worldwide. We're spending so much more time on screen media than we used to, you know. So whether it be working at home or for recreational purposes, many people using streaming services and so forth, and even just to stay interconnected, we're using various media services to provide that. So we're spending so much time, so much more time in front of the screen than we were used to. So naturally, the eye fatigue is a big issue, but also as well, if you're not wearing the appropriate corrections, so fellas like yourself and myself that might need a bit of help for seeing things clearer at that distance, if you're not wearing the right thing and looking after your eyes to keep them healthy and happy, then you will develop issues and become symptomatic.
No, that's okay. Linda, I was going to ask you that this time of the year is always the time that I actually lose glasses, because when you're interacting between sunglasses and regular glasses, that's when you lose them. And I was very proud of myself saying that I hadn't lost a pair of glasses in a year, and then I lost a pair 2 days ago. So,
are you jinxed yourself?
Are you finding that business improves as the sunshine comes out, or am I just a bad example of that?
Oh, you know, business varies throughout the year. I mean, I would say in terms of reading glasses, for example, you always get a large increase in the amount of people who suddenly realize that they need reading glasses around October, for example, because the days get shorter and the light gets poorer. And of course, it's harder to read. During the summertime, yes, you would get an upswing in people who find that they, you know, if you get a bit of fine weather like today, hopefully, and tomorrow, people who have normal glasses, you know, would suddenly see the need or the benefit of having prescription sunglasses or having nice sunglasses, like getting nice polarized lenses. But you can also get lenses that change in the sun, and they're pretty cool. So, you know, you have the option of having something that you can wear all the time and it's clear indoors and it'll react to the amount of UV light out there in the environment when you go outdoors.
Okay.
So, you know, there are different options.
Good.
And contact lens sales can often go up in the summertime too when people are participating in activities where glasses can be a bit of a nuisance.
All right. We've lots of texts coming in. Kel, you might help me with this next one. Can you ask your guests, are they worried about being made redundant by laser eye surgery? That comes in from Kian. I doubt that's a threat, but what's your thoughts on that, Kel?
What I tell my patients, 1% of my patients will consider laser surgery quite often because I refer them to the laser surgery. And it's akin to saying to a GP, that hospital is going to put you out of business. All right? It is part of eye care. It is a genuine, useful part of eye care that doesn't put us out of business in any way, shape, form whatsoever. And it's very select number of patients that it's for. So people think everybody's going to go and get laser done and opticians will close down. That's like saying, you know, GPs will close down because hospitals are taking their business. It's nothing to do with that. And they turn from one patient into a different patient needing different eye care after their surgery.
Yeah. John, one for you, and it sounds like this chap might need to come and see you. Double vision at night watching TV. It's okay if I close one eye. That's from Pat in Cork. I think that might be a joke.
Well, yeah, as funny as it might sound, Bobby, sudden onset double vision is a symptom that presents to us, which oftentimes might need immediate attention.
Yeah.
Two biggest causes of sudden onset diplopia we worry about are vascular. So, for example, somebody that might have a stroke or an aneurysm or a diabetic problem. So he should definitely see his optometrist at the earliest opportunity.
Okay. Very interesting stuff there. Well, look, it's been a great to talk to you. It's an interesting business. It's interesting the way things, like every business, has had their challenges over the last 15 months. But it's refreshing to hear your enthusiasm and your innovation. So I'd like to thank my guests, Linda McGivney-Nolan, an advisor from the Association of Opticians, Kel Nolsey, the owner of Nolsey Opticians down there in Waterford, and John Weldon, clinic and director of Clad Optical in Galway, Galway and indeed Roscommon, and president of the Association of Optometrists in Ireland. Thank you very much for joining us.